Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, during a family gathering honoring his late uncle, he received an unexpected phone call from his house. There was just one problem. No one was there, so who was calling?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, and thank you for listening. We love to hear your real ghost stories, and if you've got one, chances are you do, you can share it with us at 855-853-4802. If you would prefer just to write it down, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, hit subscribe. We would appreciate that. Oh, and you know what else, Kathy Gordon? We are also back on YouTube. People can watch us there.
Fun.
If they want to check out YouTube episodes. It was weird because we were on YouTube for a million years. Okay, maybe not a million, but a really long time. And then it was one of those, you're not real people.
What?
Yeah, for real. And so Tony, like, and there's nobody you can talk to. And because like we were talking about
so
it the other
YouTube
day.
So YouTube was saying it was AI or something?
Yeah. And weird. I guess AI, I don't know. That's what happened to me on Facebook. They just shut me down one day and they're like, yeah, we don't think you're a real person.
Ooh.
And I'm like, but I am, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to prove that I was. It's just weird. It's just this weird black hole. So I don't know exactly what happened. And so it's back up and going so people can watch it. We do post some videos there. I don't know. I think it's really strange that, you know, when you think about it, these big platforms like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or X, excuse me, all of those types of things, Instagram, there's no people to deal with. I tried to call AT&T recently. It took me forever to get to a person. I tried to call Walgreens Pharmacy. It took forever. And it's just one a couple miles from my house. I'm like, I cannot get to a person.
You kind of need to talk to a person a lot of times when it comes to your health and drugs.
Exactly.
You know,
had a question about a medication.
Yes. You know, the one that blows me away that I can't seem to find a way to talk to anybody is Amazon. And it's not because, you know, whatever, but you would think with all the, you know, that you need to talk to somebody about returning something or this or that. There's no way. I've never found a way to talk to anybody at Amazon.
And so you've got these huge companies that we all deal with on a daily basis. And if you want to talk to anyone there, if you have a complaint or if you have a question that needs to be answered and it's not in the FAQs, how do you do that?
I don't know. And, you know, the thing is, it's in like, you know, I shouldn't be beating up on Amazon today necessarily than somebody else, but it's in their best interest that we can't, because then you just give up and keep the damn thing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's go to our first ghost story.
My name is Nadeem Ali, and I'm actually from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So the story that I wanted to share with you guys is in the Islamic tradition, after somebody passes away, you do a special prayer for someone after they have passed away, and it was approximately 1 year afterwards, which is usually the normal time to do it. So actually, I had an uncle who had passed, and he was very ill at the time of his passing. He had several medical issues, several different things were going wrong, and he had passed away in 2006. So fast forward a year later to 2007, when his eldest son, my cousin actually, was holding the prayer at his house. And I think the evening started at about 6 o'clock. I'm actually a musician, so I was unable to make it right on time. I had actually showed up like a couple hours late because I was playing a gig that night. So I had done so. And I came, you know, out of the place where I was playing my gig, and then I drove to my cousin's house, who was holding the prayer. And you know, we all sort of were just sitting around, and the prayer was pretty much over. I had missed it, But just sort of reminiscing about, you know, who he was as a person and, you know, how he was very friendly and very kind. He loved children. He was just a very kind, sweethearted man. He didn't have, I guess, like the best quality of life. He had always had, you know, health issues and money issues and stuff like that. So, you know, it was definitely hard for him and his family. So, you know, after, you know, an hour or two of sitting around, I get a phone call from my house. So the place that I was living, which is about a 20-minute drive away from my cousin's place. It was kind of strange because it said, I'm getting a phone call from home. But I knew for certain that there was actually nobody at home at that moment because I had been out playing a gig. And actually my parents, who I had lived with at that time, were out of the country doing like a religious pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. And so I found it kind of strange. So I was thinking perhaps, you know, one of my sisters had stopped by and was phoning to see where I was or something like that. So I answered my phone and I said hello, and there was no reply. There was nothing, not even a sound. And then all I heard was sort of like this raspy, just sort of distressed breathing, and it didn't make any sense. And I thought it was someone, you know, on the other end, and it was just very, very low and very grumbly. Like in the medical world, it's called Kussmaul's breathing, and which basically means that, you know, it's the way a person breathes basically before, you know, they're about to pass away. It's very weak, very strained, very like low and grumbly. That kind of freaked me out a little bit because after I had hung up, you know, we were kind of sitting around and my family members were asking me, you know, who was that? Like, why did you keep on saying hello? Why was there no reply or anything like that? And I basically said that, you know, I just got a phone call from home. I'm pretty sure I locked up all the doors. I checked and I double checked to make sure, you know, that was done. And we all started to sort of freak out because we knew that no one was at home at the moment. So naturally, the thing that we thought was, you know, someone had, you know, broken and entered into the house and I don't know, mistakenly made like a phone call to me or something like that. So, you know, we all started to freak out a little bit. So everybody got into their cars. There was about, you know, 10 people, me, my sisters, my brother-in-laws, their children, my cousin and his family. We drove about 20 minutes back to my place and we checked around the perimeter of the house. There was no sign of any sort of, you know, breakage or damage or anything like that. And so that started to kind of, you know, freak us out a little bit more. So all of us, I opened my garage door. We all grabbed something, you know, a crowbar or like a knife or like whatever anyone could grab, they grabbed, and we went into the house. And sure enough, you know, the house was locked. Everything was as it was as I had left before playing my gig. You know, at this time it was about 2 a.m. So, you know, everyone, we scoured the house top to bottom, attic to basement, you know, every closet, every room, every you know, shower, everything. It's a pretty big house. It's a four-level split. So there's a lot of places to check or for intruders to potentially hide. You know, we looked and there was nothing there. And so after a while, we sort of sat there and wondered what that could have been. And so I pulled up my cell phone again. And sure enough, there was a record of the exact same time that I answered my phone, having a phone call from home. And then I actually even phoned my local phone company and asked as to whether or not, you know, a transmission was sent from our residential home to my cell phone. And yep, she was able to confirm it. So, you know, it was really eerie because of the breathing, and it was just really freaky. And so a lot of us, you know, sort of maybe hypothesized that, you know, it was my passed away uncle who was trying to communicate with me or us in some way, but I guess wasn't able to because, you know, all I heard was the raspy sort of breathing. And it's a very distinct sort of sound. I'm actually a medical student right now, and so that's definitely a very characteristic breathing pattern that you hear in a stethoscope when you know, someone's about to pass away. So it was just really eerie, and I slept actually, I crashed at my sister's place that night because it was very, very eerie, and we were just all sort of taken by surprise and freaked out. But yeah, so that is my paranormal experience, and thank you once very much for listening, and I enjoy the show very much once again. Thank you. Bye.
So that was really strange. And like the phone call is one thing, but it's that weird breathing thing that he heard.
Yeah.
Because now I don't know the time frame of this, because maybe there was a landline. He obviously had a landline at his house, and it called his cell phone, is what, or its parents' house.
That's my guess.
So,
because there seemed to be the house. Yeah.
Now, I have gotten on my cell phone calls from myself before, and it's my phone number, and I'm calling me. But I know that nowadays they can kind of, what's the word I want? It's like they fake my number, like they're using it to call other people. There's a word for it. But back then with a landline, that's not anything you heard of.
It's weird. Yeah, and I just don't know. Is there some explanation of some way this could happen? Landline, I don't know. I feel like somebody's got to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else that happens. Because a landline wouldn't be over the internet.
Right.
So I don't understand without picking up the phone and making a call how that would work.
I love that he got everybody to go to his house, though.
Well, they armed themselves
with whatever they could find.
Everybody was like, no, 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 no. You know, we're going with you. They're not going to let him go alone. And thank God for that.
Those are good friends.
Yes. I don't know. You know, it is weird. It seems like periodically, in the olden days, when we did have landlines and people used them, there were a lot more creepy calls, don't you think? Mm-hmm. When's the last time you had a creepy call?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And for a variety of reasons. Now, I suppose spammers could get a hold of you and do something if they wanted to or whatnot. But it seems like when we had landlines, there were the weird people that would call, or the heavy breathing on the phone. We called them the obscene phone calls. Remember? Oh, I had an obscene phone call. And I did have to laugh. This one time when cell phones were pretty new, right? And I went out on a date with this guy, and he calls me, and I guess he thought that he just ghosted me, and that was fine. That was the end of that. I didn't have. And then months later, I get the weirdest phone call, and it's like this heavy breathing. And I looked and I said, "Rick, you're still in my phone." Like, I know it's been months, but I didn't delete you for some weird reason. You're still there, and I can see your name. And then, of course, he just hung up.
This is inappropriate.
And now people are like, they're on to the way it all works now, and that we have a list of names that just pop up on our phone and we can see. But it didn't used to be that way with landlines. You didn't know necessarily who was calling. You just picked it up and they said hello, you know, or whatever.
Well, and then the whole other weird angle with this is that he, with medical training, going to medical school, he knew that sounded like kind of a death rattle or something.
Yeah,
but he breathing could tell, in that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That it's distressed breathing. then they happen to be at this get together for his uncle who has passed away. You know, it was like they're doing prayers for him or something.
And so they're already kind of in this strange, you know, kind of place where they're kind of saying prayers for a deceased person. Do you think it was the uncle?
I don't know. It could have been. I think that spirits haven't figured out the new cell phone thing. It's like they could get in on landlines because it seems like all of the phone hauntings come from, there's a landline involved, you know, so maybe technology, once, you know, a lot of people start passing who know more about tech, that'll
change.
Because there's still a lot of 1800s ghosts out there and stuff. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting. I think that was an interesting story.
Yeah. No, I don't really have a good explanation for it either. It's weird. We've had different calls, but it seems like most of the calls involve a landline when it's this weirdness stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe here soon it'll be more because they're like, oh, we know how to work a cell phone. This is easy. So our next story, I didn't plan this, but it's also about someone's uncle.
Oh.
And it says, I've been listening to your show for a few years now. Love hearing all the stories. This one is about my uncle, Ray. He never got married or had kids, so all of us nieces and nephews kind of adopted him as our own. He was the uncle who came to every baseball game, every graduation, every birthday party. If one of us needed help with a car or wanted to learn how to use a power tool, he'd show up. He wasn't the type to tell you he loved you, but he was the first one there whenever anybody needed something. What a great Uncle Ray.
Really?
I love him so much. As much as everybody loved Uncle Ray, nobody liked going to his house. It wasn't because it was run down or in a bad neighborhood. It was a nice little place out in the country that had been in the family for years. There was just something about it that made you uneasy. I don't know how else to explain it. You always had the feeling somebody else was there, even when you knew you were alone. Growing up, all of us cousins avoided going upstairs unless somebody came with us. If one person had to grab something from a bedroom, three of us would end up making the trip. We'd joke about it because none of us wanted to admit we were nervous, but looking back, every single person in the family reacted the same to that house, even the adults. My mom said she hated walking down the hallway because she felt like there was always somebody following her. One of my cousins swore he heard footsteps upstairs while everyone was outside grilling one night. My aunt said lights would come on in rooms she had just walked out of. Nobody claimed they saw a ghost, but everyone had at least a story about that house. Uncle Ray didn't talk about it very often, but every once in a while he'd make a comment that let you know he felt it too. He hadn't slept upstairs in years. He kept an old day bed in the den off the kitchen, and he slept there. If somebody asked him why, he'd laugh and say he was getting too old to climb the stairs every night before adding, besides, whatever's up there can have those bedrooms. He always said it like he was joking, but I'm not sure he was. The one thing I always remember seeing in his house was a folded American flag in a wooden display case on the mantle. It wasn't his. His older brother had been killed in Vietnam when they were both young, and after my grandparents passed away, Uncle Ray became the one who kept the flag. He was proud of his brother and talked about him a lot. If I asked a question about the military, somehow we'd end up hearing a story about his brother before the conversation was over. A few years ago, Uncle Ray passed away after dealing with heart problems for a long time. It wasn't sudden, but it hit everyone hard. Cleaning out his house took several weekends because none of us really wanted to be there. It's funny looking back on it, but even as adults, we'd naturally pair up before anyone went upstairs or into the basement. Nobody ever suggested it. We all just still did it. When everything was divided up, my mom asked if there was anything I'd like to keep. I told her the only thing that really meant anything to me was the flag. She smiled and said she thought that's exactly what Uncle Ray would have wanted. I brought it home, and it sat in a closet for close to a year while we remodeled our family room. Once everything was finished, I finally hung it over the fireplace where we could actually enjoy seeing it instead of keeping it packed away. I remember standing there for a minute after I put it up, thinking Uncle Ray probably would have approved of where it ended up. A few nights later, fell asleep on the couch watching television, and sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up because I heard someone quietly say, "Hey." It wasn't loud or startling. It sounded exactly like someone had walked in the room and was trying to get my attention without waking the whole house. Half asleep, I answered, "Yeah," because I assumed it was my wife. But when no one answered back, I opened my eyes expecting to see her standing there, but the room was empty. I stayed there for a few seconds trying to figure out what had just happened because it sounded so real. And then I noticed the smell of cigarette smoke. It wasn't fresh smoke like someone had just lit one. It was a smell that used to cling to Uncle Ray's jackets after he'd been outside smoking. I hadn't smelled it in years, but the second it hit me, I knew exactly what it reminded me of. What surprised me most was that I wasn't scared. If anything, I felt calmer than I had just minutes before. I looked over at the flag hanging above the fireplace and just sat there. For a minute or two, the smell slowly faded until it was completely gone. Nothing else happened the rest of the night. The next morning, I called my mom because I wanted to tell somebody before I convinced myself I'd imagined the whole thing. She listened without interrupting, and when I finished, she was quiet for a little bit before she finally said, "Maybe he just wanted to make sure you knew he was all right." I still don't know what happened that night. Maybe hearing someone say, "Hey," was part of a dream. Maybe my mind filled in the rest. I honestly can't say. Growing up, we all believed there was something wrong with Uncle Ray's house. Maybe there was, but after all these years, I started looking at it a little differently. Whatever made that house the way it did never followed him. The only thing that ever came home with that flag was the memory of the man who spent years taking care of everybody else. So whether that really was Uncle Ray stopping by one last time, or just my mind giving me something I needed, I'll probably never know. I just know that ever since that night, every time I look at that flag, I think about him. And I'm not sure who sent that in.
What a great story.
What about the cigarette smoke? That's such a distinct smell. And to have it, hey, yeah. And you woke up, mm-hmm. And then you're like, what? And then there's cigarette smoke in my house, which is very unusual for those of us who don't smoke.
Yeah.
That would, and it's a smell that you associate with Uncle Ray. I don't know, somehow, and it happened right after the flag was put up.
You know, and here's the other thing. I wouldn't have been surprised either if the brother who was killed in Vietnam hadn't smoked.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But somehow I have a feeling that whether it was the brother in Vietnam, which I kind of feel like maybe it was, and just wanted to say thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing me home with you. You know, and I'm comfortable here. And just wanted him to know that he was proud of him and thank you. And, you know, somehow I feel like it might have been the brother.
Could have been the brother, and it could have been Uncle Ray.
Because,
you know, like, when you die, there are things that really mean something to you. Like, that really meant something to him. It would mean something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. You know, that was his brother. And yeah. To have that flag would be really special. And the fact that his nephew wanted the flag and mm-hmm. displayed it in a place in his house where it meant something to be displayed there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an important thing that you put there. And so I could see why his uncle would be very touched by that.
I think whether it was Ray, whether it was the other brother, I think the fact that they gave him a place of honor in their house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think means something to him. You know, my most vivid experience with random smoke smell came on November 2nd, 2016, the day the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I always thought in my mind when the Cubs won the World Series, I would either be in Chicago up there, at least standing outside of it, or I would be with my family. We'd all be screaming and carrying on, or, you know, something. But instead, I found myself alone that night.
Me too.
And I was living in
It was really late.
And it was late, and I was living in a place that, you know, I was way out, away from everybody. And watching that game by myself, it was not what I expected that moment would look like. And they won, and I'm getting teared up right now. They won, and I started crying, you know, just sitting there by myself crying. And all of a sudden, the room smelled like, and I'm going to be very specific, Benson and Hedges cigarettes. That was what my dad smoked. And I just knew my dad was there with me at that moment. I know that intense feeling. And the cigarette smoke is a very strong smell. If you don't smoke, it's not in your house. It's weird. It, you know, is somebody outside? Is somebody, you know, I just knew it was my dad. My dad was a Cubs fan. He lived up there in the Wrigleyville area. And I just, you know, I knew it was him that moment that happened. So I wasn't alone when the Cubs won the World Series.
And I don't think this guy's alone. Like,
I don't either.
And not that like Uncle Ray is like stalking him in the afterlife or anything. I think it's just like kind of maybe watching over him and like, hey, here's a nod to how much I appreciated that.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think happened. You know, it's not there all the time. He didn't say, and it happens all the time. No, I think it just happened that one time. I think it was just a thank you.
And what are the odds of that happening after he'd had the flag for a very long time, but hadn't displayed it?
That's right.
Because home improvements always take way longer than you think they're going to.
Amen to that.
I don't know. Yeah. That was really touching.
It was.
Well, share those stories with us because we love to hear them. You can call it in 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you would like to be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive, you can do that. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.